Area 941 podcast are produced and distributed by Community Powered 94.1 KPFA Radio. Please help support Area 941 at kpfa.org.
All right, and we are back.
We are back.
The Tom and Tim Show.
Yes.
We are coming to you live from Bernal Heights.
And we are not climate change deniers. I will say, though, that Donald Trump has blamed gay people for any global warming. It's called the Queen House Effect. We can talk about that a little later. So, good news, the Dubs, they're doing wonderful. Great game. I don't know when this is going to be broadcast. By the way, this is one of our half hour.
Yes, we will be going on. You're going to be listening to us for a long time today.
A long time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking sweep, and we'll have to see.
But I tell you, I've never seen anything like it with Curry and Durant. It's and Cleveland is a good team.
No, and they don't lose that much if they don't win this thing.
I know
that. Yeah, I mean LeBron is LeBron.
Yeah.
Steve Curry's mother was on TV, and she's a very articulate and very, very attractive woman.
What a great family.
Just because they're cute. I mean, my family all looks like, you know, they're in the lineup. But, all right. So, on to stuff that it's not so happy. Okay, fucking housing. Oh, I'm sorry. We're on the radio now, so you got to bleep me. All right, so housing. Sneak attack by Ting and Chu, and now Wiener Schnitzel's bill, which is not good.
They're making inroads,
and it's not good.
It's so much going on in Sacramento. There's this bill that nobody was paying any attention to that got out of the state assembly pretty much unanimously. There are only two votes against it, including Chu and Ting, our folks, both voted for it. And what it does is it raises the threshold to 55% for any citizen ballot initiative that interferes with development.
Over 50.
Oh, 55%.
Yeah.
So it makes it harder to pass citizen initiatives where you gather signatures and you put something on the ballot. Now, let's remember, that's what we did in 1986 for Prop M. We gathered the signatures. We put that on the ballot. That has been very, very effective policy in San Francisco since 1986, and it passed with 51.3% of the vote.
And it's been the evil developer's nightmare ever since.
And I'm pleased about that. And yet, you know, most people now agree that it's been very, very good for San Francisco, that this was a positive thing that we did. And, you know, the No Wall on the Waterfront campaigns, all this, you make it harder for the voters to do that. And, you know, the odd thing about this, too, is I guarantee both Ting and Chu and every other Democrat up there were among those complaining when it took 2/3 to pass a budget.
Thank you. Yeah, there's always a double standard.
No, they want simple majority in their interest, but they want to take that away from the voters. I just, you know, it's kind of hard to understand.
Well, the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of what they call ledger demand here. You know, it's like the three-card Monty. I thought they were cavalier in their response. Oh, we didn't get any phone calls or emails. You know, sometimes it's the morality of the issue should be self-evident, and how many phone calls.
Particularly when it's taking away the rights of the voters.
No, and then I remember Ting was not supportive of Prop G. So if you follow the breadcrumbs, there's a realtor influence here that I'm not happy with. For all the gestures towards the left, you know, that happens in politics. And then the Wiener bill, you know, was a replica of Jerry Brown's.
Right housing.
And it's not a good thing.
No, again, for local control. It's going to make it harder.
I know
for
more than you.
Groups.
That's not right. That's not a good attitude.
And, you know, it's interesting because the affordable housing folks I know, Peter Cohen and Fernando Marti at the Council of Community Housing Organizations, they all say that affordable housing projects are better when you get community input.
Of course.
They aren't going up there saying, take away the rights of the community to negotiate with us on affordable housing. They're saying, let's all sit down and talk because you get to a better place in the end.
Well, I think this gives the edge to the NIMBY. You know, NIMBYism is, let's face it, you could have it either way.
Yep.
But, you know, what to do with that is, you know, how do you confront it, address it, and move forward? But, you know, with these increases in thresholds, you cut your odds on
and
that.
And remember, it's not just affordable housing or housing they're talking about. It's all development. This would make it harder for us to pass a new Prop M or to pass something that says no hotels on the waterfront.
And then everybody silos issues. So you go boo-hoo, boo-hoo, but these things happen. And then the demographics for who gets into what public school is also affected. So, you know, this is a domino effect. It doesn't show a lot of vision. And, you know, I find it unseemly. That's as diplomatic as I'm going to get, because we're on the radio. I can't say everything I want to say.
And you know, just while we're on the subject, the latest figures came out from the city. They show that for every 10 units of affordable housing we build in the city, we're losing almost 7 units of existing affordable
That's
housing
what I
to
mean
evictions.
About the flim-flam. Oh, look, over here. Look, isn't that nice? No, because you're distracting us from what's really happening. Something, as long as we're talking about Sacramento, another unseemly issue is this whole, and it's pretty inside baseball, you know, who is the chair of the Democratic National,
the State Democratic.
We already went through the Perez Ellison thing. You know, the guy won by 60 votes. I get it. It's hard to accept. We worked very hard, you know, to get a lot of the people who supported Bernie on these committees in the L.A. and here in San Francisco. But there's got to be a time to this issue is hungry for mediation. And right now there's extremes I see on both sides and demonization of each of the candidates. I'm hoping it's going to resolve itself sooner rather than later. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody for continuing the dispute. However, you know, somebody got to be the adult in the room, and you know,
maybe Tom, maybe they should hire you to be a mediator.
Yeah, they could hire me to be a mediator, and then you know, they'd probably have to commit me to Napa Hospital. But you know, these things do work out, but you know, getting through it is very, very difficult. So, and it will affect, you know, what happens in California, which brings me to the governor. Now, you know, the governor, like I say, he paddles to the right, canoe politics, and he paddles to the left. Very happy that he signed the transgender bill, and that, you know, after a veto of the Trust Act, which has now become very important, and the domestic workers bill, he did see the light, and he did. So, you know, I give credit. But one of the easiest things to do, as I said before, is be against Trump. I mean, please, you know, who's not going to be against Trump except that 37%? So that he's taking on Trump, and, you know, maybe he thinks he's going to run for president. But, you know, he's...
Hasn't he already done that a couple times, Tom?
Yeah, you know, well, you know, he's not going to give up on it until he's dead, and then he'll want to be canonized. But in the meantime, good that he's the governor, good that he's calling it out, although he still, you know, supports fracking, go figure. But he's not connecting the dots, and that's what I'm so frustrated with most politicians. You know, what about health care? What about single payer? He's nowhere on single payer. Excuse me, doesn't the environment affect people's health? And then doesn't that health require care no matter what your income? You know, it's baffling to me. I think it's all about the old school politics, you know, that paddle to the right, paddle to the left, and then you get to be governor twice. The other thing, where is he on Prop 13, which could generate funds for single payer and for many other things as well? So just saying, folks, just saying. And back to single payer. Very happy for the conversation that it started. I'm very happy for some of the progress we've made. I don't know what's going to happen in the assembly, but there are all these faux arguments about how's it going to be paid for and isn't this irresponsible. But every politician in Sacramento that has stood up and said that has many, many skeletons in their closet about things that they voted for in their self-interest that did not have everything articulated or all the details.
Well, and
this is aspirational and totally transformative.
And it can be done. I mean,
of course it can.
The thing
done.
That makes me crazy as a journalist is reading all the press reports by my dear and esteemed colleagues that say things like, all right, the Bay Area News Group story that ran in the Mercury News.
They're
and
all
a bunch
alarmist.
Of well, what it said is the state Senate passed a $400 billion measure without any way to pay for it.
Oh, for God's sake.
But, and what they're forgetting here, and I sometimes I just shake my head. It's like, what is the matter? What they're forgetting is that the state of California, we're already paying almost $400 billion for health care and getting a bad deal.
You
and, right? Okay, so the question is, all right, here, I'm a 59-year-old guy. Is it better for me to pay $800 a month to Health Net or to pay $200 a month in increased taxes and get health care for free?
It's so, you know,
it's easy.
But they use all the buzzwords. Oh, increased tax, you know, I mean, it's work and job killer. It works for them way too much because of the lack of spine on the part of many of our legislators. Now, Lara is an interesting case. I respect him a lot for doing this. Absolutely. He is running for insurance commissioner, and I think this would help him be a slam dunk and be the first out, the first gay Latino insurance commissioner, and that's worth something, at least a seat in the park. But Sheila Kuehl actually had all of this worked out. Now, I'm sure there's some adjustment for the time we're living in and CPIs and income indexes and all that. But she had it worked out, as I remember. Now, this is inside, folks. This is a little...
And when was this,
Tom? How long ago? If I was there 6 years, 10 years ago already? Yeah. I think there's a falling out between Kuehl and Lara a long time ago about something or other. However, if people would go back to what she did around this, and there are people who locally who were involved with this, Roma Guy, for instance, we might have a better response because there's a lot of ping pong going on. There's no detail and stuff like that. And so then the answer right now is, well, the detail's coming. Well, of course, that makes it vulnerable.
Right.
Unmerits.
But the only question is, what taxes are we going to raise and on who to make up for the fact that we're not paying insurance premiums?
Prop 13.
Prop 13 is an example. But even so, again, you know, would you rather pay $800 a month to an insurance company or $200 a month to the state? Because that's the choice we're looking at here.
Well, you got some big player. You have fucking Kaiser.
I know.
Who's got their panties in a bunch. And, I'm sorry. There's probably a place for the Kaiser here. But really, it is all about money.
Well, it's crazy. And,
quality of care. I'm sorry, you know.
And if I were talking to the head of Kaiser right now, I'd say, and the head of all these other big insurance companies, I'd say, you did this to yourself, folks. The greed, the 5, 10, 15% a year premium hikes.
Yeah.
If you had kept your costs at an affordable level for small businesses and individuals, there wouldn't be this pressure. But you didn't. You made this bed yourself.
Yeah,
now go lie in it.
And
it's not even capital. Some of these things are non-profit officially.
Well,
Health is supposedly, Kaiser is supposedly non-profit.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, non-profit. But, that's just a scam, you know. Kaiser was supposed to have been based on kind of a socialist model,
Look
what happened. So in San Francisco locally, we had a departure soon of Mr. Steve Kala. You know, I knew him as an aide to a very conservative supervisor, Tom Shea, often wondered about not just his politics, but... Mr. Shea was not, let's say, generous with his votes on LGBT issues, mm-hmm. and how he might be able to stomach that. Obviously, he has a strong stomach, and he's been around for a very long time. I can't say I'm sorry that he's leaving, but the system that we have now, a strong mayor's office and money, and the system helped create someone like Steve Kala too. You know, for all we know, he's been very sincere and loyal to his particular political perspective, and he thinks, in that world that he's done no wrong. But I think, some of his policies and the direction.
Absolutely.
Especially around, say, healthy San Francisco.
Well, we know this.
But he's only 55, and you know what? He has a big future.
You know, the thing, I will never forget that the reason we have Ed Lee as mayor is that
Bevin
Dufty was going to vote for Mike Hennessy, and at the last minute, he called a recess in the meeting, and Chris Daly said, "Why do you want a recess?" And he said, "Because I want one." He went into Gavin Newsom's office and called Gavin on the phone, who was out of town, and Gavin said, "Just make Hennessy promise to keep Steve Kava." And he went up to Hennessy's office, and Hennessy said, "No, I'm going to bring in my own people," and that was it. Because Steve Kava was more important to the powers that be in San Francisco than deciding who the next mayor was going
to
be.
Well, Rasputin comes to mind. Look what happened to him. Well, some laughs. The comedy, it's interesting. This whole area of comedy and politics now becomes very, very pronounced. Or, you know, we happen to be having the cluster, whatever it is.
Cluster fest.
The F word.
I think we can say fest on the
air. Yeah, and it seems to be very popular.
We should be using that. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised DeGeneres. Yeah, Uncle Fester. I'm surprised DeGeneres isn't there. There doesn't seem to be any. Well, Camus.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, there's some very good local comics, gay and straight, who I wish they had incorporated. All right, so there's that. But then, you know, we have the controversy around Kathy Griffin, and of course, what's his name? Bill Maher. But then there's another one, too. Escaping there was a movie once about Nazi Germany, and Mort Saul was very homophobic. I know he's 90 now, but he doesn't get a pass. But otherwise, you know, he nailed it George Carlin too. I nailed it on politics. And so the movie was about how the Nazis finally cracked down on him because he was a stand up in the movie as well and spoke out against about it. And I don't particularly like Kathy Griffin. She has a very large gay following, you know, a lot of large gay people. supporter. And certainly Maher's Islamophobia, I just can't stomach it. And I didn't like him very much when he was here. But he does nail it a couple of times. And there's some great commentary that he has. So he used the N-word. And people are very, very upset about it. And there's merit to that.
And they should be. Yes.
But I don't think that he needs to be threatened with his career being over and all that. And I'll tell you why. And, you know, maybe it'll be self-destructive because I think there's a right wing here element to this, you know, Griffin and Maher thing, as well as people who are really probably offended. But it comes down to the free speech aspect and what is hate speech and what is not. But I find it interesting as someone with a stand-up comedy background to see how we're looking at the lens we're looking at these comments as, and where's it going to stop? You know, look at Saturday Night Live. You know, are they walking the line? Are they going to be censored? I don't know.
I think
you got to be careful.
I think Trump would love to censor Saturday Night Live.
I wouldn't apologize. I mean,
I think Trump would love to censor Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You know,
we'll see. But I find it very interesting. Something that's not so funny. The police commission saga goes on and on and on. I don't know how Safai can even sleep at night, or why his people are even supporting him. I think that they've conceded now, and Sandra Fewer has done what she could do. You know, he's messing with the calendar. I heard that there's the word on the street is that there's a recall petition that's going to be going around. The more he plays games with this, and I think reduced to bare bones, whether you think he's better than sliced bread or you think he's a total idiot, he is interfering with police reform.
Yes, he is, because
and
he's refusing.
That is a serious issue. And that, you know, if people want to recall him, that I think there's an issue there to chew on.
Well, that's, I mean, the problem here is that we are missing, there's a seat on the police commission that's empty. Petra de Jesus has been there for 12 years. She's basically been kicked off because he will not schedule a hearing. It's kind of like, remember we used to complain that the Republicans wouldn't schedule hearings for Obama's Supreme Court nominee?
It's
and for
it's
to just keep the person off by not scheduling a hearing.
It's definitely.
And he said he's really busy. Probably try to find his parking space, right?
But not only his parking space, but I told you I saw him down at noontime at the Westfield Center. So I guess he's too busy picking out underwear. You know, back to the what you do publicly and then how it affects your employment. You know, with the comics, Kaepernick. I thought he had been signed, but he's being considered.
Yep.
And they're
Seattle.
Even. And you know what kills me is that they're even. The other teams are hiring inferior.
They are
quarterbacks.
They are.
Too.
No, he's one of the most talented people
that
still on the market.
That is coming from the alt right, and then
absolutely is.
And then other people are buying into it who should know better. You know,
yep.
A homeless situation is still a situation. Now, the mayor is going to give $10 million. For homeless, one of the issues is, should there be navigation centers in every district? I support that. And what's his name? Farrell said the same thing about people who are against universal health care. If I'm not sick, why should I pay for it? So we have no homeless in the marina, so why should we have a navigation center? Missing the hope, the point of the totality of the issue, that they will have homeless, and that it's in a, what do you want, apartheid? Give me a break. We're all responsible here. And I guess we're almost done.
We're almost out of
Julia's
time.
Julia's Castle. Do you remember Julia's Castle? It's not going to reopen. I had the best abalone ever. The Summer of Love has been canceled yet again. So we'll give you a briefing the next time we talk to you. Finally, as a campaign issue, someone's recognized that there's too much of a youth population amongst the homeless. Duh. How many years has that been going on?
A long time.
A long, long time.
Well, we are out of time. Thank you for listening to...
Oh, the mayor's poll. I don't mean anything physical. I mean... Not his poll, the poll. Yeah, Willie Brown went down that low too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, actually, yeah. I'm wrong. We're not out of time. We still have more time, Tom.
All right, but
we're at 20 minutes. We can still keep. We can keep talking.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's right. So about the poll.
Yeah. About the mayor's poll.
About the mayor's poll.
Let's keep talking about the mayor's poll.
We don't want to. You know, it's like Trump's hands. You know, so I guess it shows. You know, there's a lame duck attitude towards this, and you know, we're talking about Kawa leaving and Whitaker left. I mean, this is endemic. Some people do the parallel of rats leaving the scene. So he's been ineffective anyway as a mayor. All the history of it, and now it's compounded by being a lame duck. I do like Kaczynski, the homeless guy, the homeless park guy, and maybe he's had an influence. It'll be interesting to talk to the homeless advocates about this $10 million allocation, and you know, is it going to be democratically spread out? You know, the people on 16th Street can be annoying, but they have a point. Why are all the services there?
Right.
You know, and is the mayor going to take the lead?
And basically say to some of these folks,
gesture, you know.
And say to Jeff Sheehy, what about a navigation center in District 8?
Now he's kind of honed. Oh yeah, well maybe for youth, but it's all maybe.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, just bite the bullet.
Well, and just show some leadership. I mean, you got to say, all right, Hillary Ronan, our supervisor in District 9, showed a lot of leadership on this. She went to the town halls and people yelled at her and said, you're going to bring homeless drug addicts into our streets. And she stood her ground and she said, no, we need the navigation center here and we're going to do it. And despite all of this, you know, all of the NIMBY backlash that she got, she stood her ground.
Yeah.
Let's see that from some of the other supervisors. Yeah.
No.
Farrell's constituents are going to be unhappy if he wants to put a navigation center in the district. That's what leadership is.
Yeah. Not cash, not... Not care, not cash.
Not care. Standing up and saying this is the right thing to do, so we're going to do it.
And, you know, I mean, the longer they sidestep all this, the more the situation, the homeless situation becomes aggrandized. So,
I know.
Plastic straws. Now, I remember a time when plastic straws were used, perhaps.
For something other than drinking a beverage.
and a lot of hepatitis C apparently came, but so now, God love Berkeley, you know, they're going back and forth about this. I think it's like the plastic bag parallel, you know.
It's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
And then I love all these people who, even with the single payer, I listen to some of the Republicans, and all of a sudden they care about poor people. They've never voted for any policy that would help anybody who's below the poverty level, but now all of a sudden, oh, we can't have single payer, it'll affect poor people. Oh, we can't ban plastic straws, it'll affect mom and pop groceries. Oh, I even remember a woman in Sacramento who was against, you know, the franchise tax, not the franchise tax, the excise tax for oil. You know, they even have it in Sarah Palin state, and because she talked about the mom and pop millionaires. I
mean, Jesus, you know, the mom and pop oil companies.
Oh, job killer. And
they'll be fine with paper straws. In fact, you know, the other side of this is, you know, I always look at this as, okay, we get rid of plastic straws. People want to use paper straws. It's a little challenging to make good paper straws, to make compostable paper straws.
Yeah.
That's an economic opportunity for the Bay Area. Some entrepreneur in the Bay Area is going to figure out how to make compostable paper straws, and it'll be the next big thing, and that'll be creating jobs.
Well, the other, you know, they should, I mean... obviously for seniors and disabled, there is an issue there because you need straws. But there are also alternatives that can be developed. And
did you know we use like a billion plastic straws a month or something in the United States? Some huge number.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that disposable consumerism that we have, and then that's why we're in the mess that we're in. The governor's race, full disclosure, I'm going to be meeting with Delaney Easton in the next couple of weeks. You know, she's been very out front about Proposition 13, and especially the Willie Brown loophole, you know, which needs to
and
be
we
closed.
We can't endorse or express preferences on candidates here in this show, but we can certainly talk about them.
Yeah, and I understand that, and we'll certainly be at least informing people as to the platforms.
As to the platform and what they're actually talking about and also their history. Because, you know, Gavin Newsom's all about single payer now. Good for him.
Yeah,
I'm glad he's talking about single payer and legalizing marijuana. But you got to remember where this guy was when he was mayor of San Francisco.
Yeah.
Right?
And remember care not cash.
And remember care not cash. That, you know, some people, particularly people like Gavin Newsom, really love to position themselves for what they think is going to get them elected. And,
it might be happening in our mayor's race, too.
It may be happening in our mayor's race.
We'll talk about that
when it comes to it. And, you know, and at this point, the San Francisco mayor's race, it's still wide. You know, Mark Leno has announced he's running, but I know there's lots of other people who are thinking about it, and they just haven't announced yet. So
The memo I sent out is wait, you know, because...
Well, we don't know, as I say...
And
we
scrutiny,
don't,
too. There's,
we don't know who's going to be in that race. It's, you know...
Yeah.
And it's still 2 years away.
Well, I know, but of course, in political time, it's only a few seconds. You know how that goes. But,
yep.
I like to leave you with this mantra. And if anybody's listening and wants to tell me what I'm saying, let us know. Klaatu Barada Nikto. You know that? The day the earth stood still. Klaatu Barada Nikto. So,
wow, and what language is that?
It's gay pride. it's from a movie where Mr. Carpenter comes down from an unknown planet.
And says that.
His robot says that, you know. Gay Pride Month. Love it. School is out. So is your teacher. It's gotten a little corporate for my blood. We're celebrating, I think, the 20th anniversary of domestic partners and how we started it here in the city. And I remember how wary people were of it.
Dianne Feinstein.
Susan Leal.
All these people had serious problems.
Yeah. Well, you know, it took root. I remember Mateer and Ross and the Chronicle going out and saying, you know, how terrible it was and bad for business and all that. And of course, none of that has happened. And of course, and now we do have same-sex marriage. I think we do have a lot to celebrate. I hope that Chelsea Manning will be honored in this parade. I don't think that she can be there, but it would be great, given
that would
the controversy
be great,
a couple of years ago, you know, to have her featured. So there you are.
There you are. Well, thank you for listening to the Tom and Tim Show. Thank you for being with us for this half hour. And we will be back next week.
Klaatu.
We will be back on the radio next month, and we will be back on 48hills.org next week.